Accession number 17329, Reel 2.
Mr. McHenry, Reel 2.
So we set out to find this position, and it took some considerable time because we had to negotiate round minefields and that. Must have taken about 4 hours to get up to the top there. By this time it was midnight and it was pitch black. We couldn't see very much. We couldn't hear anything. We listened but couldn't make out anything at all. So the officer decided it had taken us so long to get up there, we'd better get back before daylight, which was quite early in that part of the world. So as we started up to come back, we think it was a booby trap that went off. And I took the brunt of it. I got hit in the leg and the chest and the arm. And it threw us for a moment. But nothing happened after that. We listened, but everything went quiet. But the point was that we couldn't see where... I could feel where I'd been hit, but we couldn't do very much about it. So we started off to go to make our way back, and of course I was losing a lot of blood by this time, and I kept passing out. But they virtually carried me all the way back, and we had to take a chance getting going back and go down the main road, because it was difficult to go through minefields with them carrying me, you see, because you would have had to gone in single file, and they couldn't do that. So they carried me back to the position. It took us quite a while to get back. And I kept passing out and coming to, and it was freezing. You know, it was really cold at night in North Africa. However, we made our way back, and fortunately.
What was the date that you were wounded, do you think?
The date, I think it was just... can't remember now. It may be in the... I think it was about April 27th, something like that. Somewhere down there.
April. This is April 1943, of course.
1943, yes.
What form was the... booby trap in?
It was what they call... it's a small charge in the ground which rises up to about 5 feet and then explodes. And there is a name for it, but I can't remember what it was now. And it explodes and it scatters bits of shrapnel about at head height all round.
Were you in much pain?
You don't feel the pain when you get hit. All you feel is a blow. It just blew me over. And it's only after you've come to your senses that you realise that you've been hit, but you just don't feel a pain as such. Just a blow. And then, of course, you're bleeding all the time. And, of course, it was underneath the trouser, your trouser leg, and you couldn't actually feel anything because it deadens the area around there a little bit, and it in the chest and the arm. It came from over on the left there, see, hit everything there and there.
Did you get field dressings on the wounds?
It was difficult to put the field dressings on. I would have had to take my trousers off to get at it. I would have had to take everything off to get at the wounds. So I felt all right when we started off. So we made our way back as soon as we could, because we didn't have an awful lot of time to spare.
What medical treatment then did you get?
Oh well, they we had our own medical man there. And he treated the wounds before the ambulance came and took me away.
What treatment did he give you?
Well, they'd already done the treatment. It was just a question of getting back to the nearest base and look at the wound a bit closer by a doctor, because the shrapnel was still inside, you see, inside me.
But what did your medical treatment consist of? Digging bits out of you?
Yes, yes. Yeah, they put me out, and when I came to, I was already... They'd taken the shrapnel out by this time, but of course, to get at it, they'd had to cut pretty deep in the leg. And they had to cut the others from the other side to get at it. So there was a way in and a way out, as you might say.
How serious were your wounds?
Not particularly serious, but just enough to put me out of action. I mean, obviously the leg wound was the worst. So I went back to Algiers to recuperate.
Had the shrapnel hit anything vital?
No.
Were you satisfied with the treatment that you got?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We hear quite a bit nowadays about people suffering psychological effects from wounds. Was there any of that for you?
No, not at all.
What about returning to the unit after this?
Yes, by the time I got back, the war in Tunisia was over. I had missed all the action that finished off the Germans in Tunisia. And the 1st Battalion were outside Tunis when I returned.
Had there been any change, much change to the unit by the time you got back?
Well, they'd had quite a few casualties in the battle. In fact, the left flank company had quite some trouble when the attack started, somewhere around Good Friday. The attack went in and had a lot of casualties there then. So there were a few faces missing by the time I got back.
What was morale in the unit like?
Oh, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
What happened to you next?
Well, we spent some time in North Africa, Tunisia, getting the unit back to strength again. Just did field training and keeping our minds occupied.
Was it a pleasant time for you?
It was, yes. It was an interesting time because we've never been abroad that far before. It was summertime.
Had the recovery from the wound, had the wound impaired your long-term fitness?
Nope. Took a long time to heal because it penetrated right through the leg, but it gradually healed itself up.
So it hadn't slowed you up or nope. Affected your effectiveness as a soldier?
Nope.
What was the next time you went into action then?
Was Anzio.
Can you take me through your memories of Anzio from leaving for the operation to landing and so on?
Well, I'd been promoted to a sergeant by then, or a lance sergeant, in North Africa. The battalion went over to Italy without me. I went back to Philippeville on a course. And by the time I rejoined the battalion in Italy, a couple of months later, they were preparing for the Anzio attack, and I joined my company just the day before they were going into Anzio, and we were landed with the second group on the beachhead, and it was very quiet. It was they didn't know we were coming. We took them by surprise. We made an easy landing and sat in the woods there for the woods just outside Anzio for 3 days while the build up started.
So it was an unopposed landing?
An unopposed landing, yeah. The Germans had a rest camp there, and we caught them by surprise and caught them in their pyjamas.
So they surrendered without fighting?
Oh yes, they had no option. It was only a rest camp.
Were you? Did you take part in rounding them up?
No, not me. No, I. Not my company, anyway.
Well, you were still in left flank, were you?
Yes.
Where did your unit, where exactly was your unit at Anzio? What was the name of the place?
That's the name of the place, just outside Anzio, just on the outskirts.
Was it built up or countryside?
Countryside.
Was it fields or groves or what?
Looked like fields mainly. Many years ago, it had been a swamp area, and Mussolini he repaired all the ground and got rid of the swamp, and it was a farm area mostly, from what we could see. I mean, I wasn't there all that long.
So it was flat, was it?
It was flat.
Did you take part in fighting then?
Well, so we started off after sitting there for about 5 days, 3, 4, 5 days. We started moving up the main road. There'd been a lot of fighting going on in front of us before this, but we started off and made our way up the main road. And approaching the evening, we had been shelled by some 88 millimeter guns. So we dropped back about a couple of hundred yards and dug in for the night in a railway bank. There was a railway and a main road, and in between the two was a bank about 5 foot high. So we dug in for the night there. Dug a trench for everybody. Dug a trench for themselves and bedded down. And in the morning, I came out of the trench, and we were using American rations, K rations at this time, and they come in a box, so you have to break the box open and distribute the rations to your section, to your men, you see. And I was doing this, and there was a lot of shelling going on and bullets flying about, and all of a sudden a big bang went off. And I was flattened. I don't know what it was to this day. Must have been a shell blast or something. Must have landed on the railway line. And I got a huge blast in the leg. I thought at first I'd lost my leg, because it just flattened me out. Because I couldn't feel anything, you see. You just get a blow, that's all. It's not like a pain. Just like a blow. And they shouted to the stretcher bearers, and I was taken away.
Was it the same leg?
Yep.
So opened up the old wound?
No. It was higher up. It was up on the thigh, the left hand side of the thigh.
Which was the worst, being wounded in Tunisia or wounded at Anzio?
What made it? They both felt about the same, really. Just about the same. The peculiar thing about it was, in North Africa, I was the first casualty in the company. And on Anzio, when the company went in, I was the first casualty in the company, in the action. Because as I was coming away, the company commander came up to see what was wrong, and he said, "Oh, MacHenry," he said, "not you again." And off I went into Anzio.
And the medical treatment you got for this, was it just
very
the same?
Good. Yes, very good.
Did they do the same things to you?
They couldn't do very much. It was so big, the wound. They couldn't do anything with it except cover it up and put whatever they put on it and bandage it up, because it was so large. It was like something like that, you see. It was a great portion of the leg was chopped out. Came away.
Was it just flesh, or did it hit the bone?
No, it was just flesh. Yes. As if it was being a glancing blow and just taking off the top layer, more or less.
Was there much dirt in it?
Didn't get a chance to get dirty, really. I mean, the stretcher bearers were there pretty quick, and they had me on the stretcher and away.
Where were you in hospital this time?
Well, from Anzio we went to Naples, and the worse injured you were, the further back you went. So we were flown from Naples to Catania in Sicily. We didn't make it the first time because we hit a storm over the Messina Straits and we had to come back. The next day off we went again, and we landed in Catania, and I was in the hospital there for 3 weeks. It wasn't so much the wound there at the time, it's what transpires from the wound, I was led to understand. There was I could have caught, they thought I had meningitis at first due to the wound. And so that was, I was treated for there. There was all kinds of treatment was going on while I was there. I was on special rations to build me up, and just going back a bit now, special medicine and all kinds of treatment they were giving me. But the wound was not healing up. This is the trouble. It was very, very slow. And then after 3 weeks, we went back to Algiers, the hospital again there.
Did you feel wretched because of being wounded twice or not?
You have to accept it. There was nothing much you could do about it. You were in other people's hands, so you accepted it.
So you weren't feeling, why me?
No, not at all.
When was it, when did it actually heal up by?
Oh, it took a long time. I got wounded in January, the end of January, and lay in hospital for quite some time. It still wouldn't heal up. They had to operate in the end, and It grew to about 6 inches long and about an inch wide, and it wouldn't heal anymore. So they had to cut some of the muscle out and stitch it and hope it would be all right. And it did. But having to lie in bed immobile for several months. Of course, the leg was deteriorated, and I had to go to a rehabilitation centre just outside Algiers to get it back again. So it was something like August by the time I started to make my way back to the battalion.
Where did you rejoin them?
They'd just taken Florence in Italy, just outside Florence, the other side of Florence.
Were there many changes to the battalion by this time?
The company I was in Anzio, had disappeared. They'd all been taken prisoner of war in Anzio. That day they went into action and were all surrounded and taken prisoner. So when I got back, there was only the couple of chaps who'd been wounded were left, and the left flank was new personnel altogether, so I was put into right flank company.
Did you find that much different?
No. Just slotted back in.
Who was the company commander there?
Major George Mann.
What was it like being in Florence?
Well, I didn't make Florence at that particular time. They were on the other side of Florence. They chased the enemy back to the River Arno, and he was still occupying various positions on the Arno, and we were there to root him out.
Did you take part in any fighting there?
Oh yes. The fighting went on and on and on and on and on from there. We just chased him all the way up Italy, from one battle to another, one action to another. We chased him across the Arno. There's one place in the Arno where you could walk across, and he was occupying the bank this side, and we went in and chased him out, and then we made our way across the River Arno. Then we made our way up through central Italy. By this time, of course, it was getting into the winter, and winters can be a bit nasty there up in the Apennines.
What did you think of the German enemy you were fighting against in Italy?
Well, we always found that they had their best troops in front of us. It was always the SS or the paratroopers we came up against. But they virtually... We never really caught up with them, because they were always occupying the high ground. And by the time you chased him off the high ground, he'd gone down and up and onto the next mountain, waiting for you. It was just very strange fighting. It was kind of delaying action all the time. We used to try and root him out, and he would cause a lot of problems, and then gradually he would draw back and we would chase him up the hillside again.
But was there any hatred for the enemy?
Any?
Hatred for the enemy?
Nope.
Did you respect the enemy?
Oh yes, you always respected him. Definitely. Well, you realised he was in the same position as you were, virtually. I don't suppose he was liking it any more than what we were. But that was the job.
Did you see any German prisoners or take any German prisoners?
A few odd ones, yes. But nothing spectacular.
Did you capture any Germans yourself?
Just a couple of odd ones, that's all.
Can you describe how it happened?
We were in a position. We'd gone to this position. It was on the main railway line, and there's a sort of cabin on the Italian railways. I don't know who occupied them, but we were occupying it at this particular time, and we had a lookout. And they said there's some Germans over there on the other side of the track, hidden away in some woods, you see. So we went out, and I think they were ready to give in, really. They'd had enough. We rounded them up and brought them back and handed them over to somebody else. But that was the way it was there. You didn't capture an awful lot of prisoners. They just seemed to, as you got there, they'd gone.
So did these Germans you captured resist at all?
Not really. They looked a bit decrepit, as if they'd been, same as us, had been in the rain and the bad weather, really wet and soggy. I thought they'd had enough, I would think. They really didn't want to fight, not this particular group anyway.
Where or when was this?
It was in the centre of Italy. We were just in the mountains. There's no particular place. We never really went near towns. We were always in the hills.
Did these Germans say anything to you when they surrendered to you?
No. Nope.
What was their manner?
As I said before, they just looked as if they'd had enough and wanted to give in.
Were there many civilians, Italian civilians, you came across?
No. Not in the hills, anyway.
You're saying that you had to be rooted out of one position before you could advance. Were they usually rooted out by air power or artillery or infantry attack or combination of them?
Combination of it. Not so much aircraft as artillery, tanks as well. We had the South African 6th Armoured Division with us at that time. And although it wasn't tank country, they got their tanks up there somehow or other. They were very good at it.
Did you speak to any of the South Africans?
No, not really.
Did they have British or American tanks?
Be British tanks.
Were there many attacks from the German Air Force in Italy?
Very sporadic. Not where we were. I think they'd be wasting their time trying to. We weren't very thick on the ground, the troops. We were spread out over quite an area. So they would be wasting their time, really, trying to bomb us out.
At this time, what were your duties with the platoon?
Well, we'd be occupying certain positions. We came to a position during the winter.